What a glorious day to celebrate Mother's Day. Amen? The sun is out. It was 62 degrees when I was coming in today. Beautiful weather as we celebrate our moms. You can, right now, turn with me in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2 and Exodus chapter 2. Titus 2, Exodus 2. Titus will be first, Exodus later. Mothers are very important. They're very important. We love them deeply. They've put up with much. They've taught us much. I read an account about a man who was contemplating all the different things that his mother had taught him over the years, and he says this. He said, "My mother taught me about religion. She said, 'You'd better pray, that will come out of the carpet.' My mother taught me about time travel. 'If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week.' Oh, my mother taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me about irony. 'If you keep crying, I'll give you something to cry about.' My mother taught me about contortionism. 'Well, will you just look at the dirt on the back of your neck?' Can't. My mother taught me about the weather. 'This room of yours looks as if a tornado went through it.' My mother taught me about envy. She said, 'There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you.' My mother also taught me about anticipation. 'Just wait until we get home.' My mother taught me about receiving. 'You're going to get it when we get home.' My mother taught me about humor. 'When the lawnmower cuts your toes off, don't come running to me.' My mother taught me about wisdom. 'When you get to be my age, you'll understand.' And then finally, this man mused, 'My mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you.'" Well, mothers are important, and they are in our lives by God's design. The most honored woman in the Bible is a mother. The word mother occurs 328 times in the New King James. And as you read through the scriptures, you know that there were good mothers and there were bad mothers. But one thing is very, very certain is that their influence was important. God desires for moms to use that influence for His glory. 25 times in the book of Kings and Chronicles we read, "and his mother was." And so this shows us the importance of the role that they had in the formation of a future king in a time and era and culture where women were not generally mentioned in genealogies. In Ezekiel chapter 16, God brings up this principle and He states, "Like mother, like daughter, you are your mother's daughter." That's the kind of influence that moms have upon their kids. And it's because of this principle that mothers have a profound impact, not only on their daughter, but upon entire families and sphere of influence as well. I've entitled this message, "Godly Mothers Bless Others." Kind of cute, I know, but it's true. And that's the main point. Godly mothers bless others. But I think it needs to be asked, well, what does it mean to be godly? What does it mean to be godly? And by being godly, I don't mean that you have some divine chip on your shoulder or that you have some kind of holier-than-thou attitude. It doesn't mean that you glow or have a halo around your head or that you're even perfect. What it does mean is that you're God-fearing. And the Bible teaches that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so what does it mean to be God-fearing? It means that you have a reverential awe of God and that He's loved by you and He's worshiped by you. And that trait is far more important than any kind of outward work. Proverbs 31:30, it says this, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." 1 Peter 3:4 says that precious in the sight of God is the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit of a godly woman. Being godly also means that you prescribe to His principles, His word, and His commandment. And you men, just because we're talking about moms, don't check out. These are particular principles that apply to us all. Being godly means that you're operating and living in such a way that you bring pleasure to the Lord. In the time period of Israel's history when they had kings, when they were one nation as well as when they were divided, there was something that delineated the good kings from the bad kings. And you know what that thing was? It's kind of confusing when you look at all these different kings and none of them were perfect. But the one thing that delineated all these kings
was that the good kings did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and the bad kings did what was evil in the sight of the Lord.
Well, there's growth and there's character, transformation of the inner man or inner woman, I guess, if we're talking about moms. And through contact with the Lord, moms are to becoming more and more like Jesus in his nature. And so really a godly mom is someone who fears the Lord, someone who loves the Word, someone who seeks to please the Lord, and someone who's growing in the Lord, someone who's not stagnating. So godly mothers bless others. And that brings us to the second question this morning. Well, how does being godly bless others? This stems from the very heart of God and the relationship that she has with God. So she loves the Lord, she loves her neighbor as herself, and if that's the case, then she can be a conduit of the love of God. And so at this point, turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. This passage is speaking about a contrast to Titus chapter 1 that Paul just got done speaking to Titus about those who profess to know God, but in their actions they deny Him. Someone might say that they love the Lord, but they're committing abominations, they're disobeying the Word of God, and then that disqualifies them from the very good works that God has called them to do. And that's very sobering, and that's why in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, but. That's a contrast word. Titus 2, 1, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Note that God's Word is to be the foundation for what we believe and then how we should act. Titus 2, drop down to verse 5. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so in this short passage, there's three commandments that are positive in nature, where godly mothers bless others by, number one, being an example to follow. They have a reverent behavior, they have a respect for the things of God, and they live that out in a way, in a manner that other people can follow. And then number two, a teacher of the Word. They teach good things, they teach sound doctrine, they teach principles of truth. And then they're a trainer, number three, of the next generation. They understand that their highly privileged role is to invest in specifically into the younger women, into the younger generation. But in this short passage, there are two negatives. Two negatives that if they are a part of your life, they will tarnish your example and your testimony. They will compromise your ability to teach the Word. They'll cause you to forfeit the honor and privilege of discipling the next generation. And so these older women, these godly mothers, they were not to be what? They were not to be slanderers. They're not to be backbiters or gossips or busy with their mouth. On the contrary, they're to be reverent in behavior and respectful in speech. Colossians 4:6 states that our speech should always be mixed with grace and seasoned with salt. In other words, godly mothers, as well as everyone else, should speak gracefully and utter what is only seasoned or tasteful. So that's number one. But the second thing is that they're not to be given to much wine. As you know, alcohol is a controlled substance in our culture, and that's because it's a controlling substance. There's a commentator named John Trapp, and he writes of drinking
all the three outs. I don't know if you've heard this before, but that is ale out of the pot, money out of the purse, and wit out of the head. Paul said this to the church in Corinth. He said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so these two things, slander and given too much wine, they are the things that will shipwreck the ability of not just moms, but any Christian to be able to bless others. So now back to the positive commands of Scripture. Godly mothers bless others by being an example to follow, a teacher of the word, and a trainer of the next generation. Now, in the balance of our time together this morning, I want to look at three examples of godly mothers and the profound influence that they had upon their children. All right? Three quick examples. Number one, three moms who made a difference. Number one, Jochebed. Maybe you're thinking, who is Jochebed? Does anyone know? Jochebed was whose mom? Moses' mom. That's right. Exodus 2, Exodus 6 regarding Moses. But we find in Numbers 26 and verse 59 that Moses' mother's name was Jochebed. So take a look with me over at Exodus chapter 2, if you would. Exodus 2, beginning in verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. And so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And so she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." And then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And so the maiden went and called the child's mother. That's Jochebed. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." And that's the meaning of the name Moses, the drawn out one. Okay? But you look at the sovereignty of God, and you look at how his parents were not going to go along with the evil edict of the king to kill the Hebrew babies. And they said, "You know what? God's got a plan." They sent him down the river. Pharaoh's daughter picks him up, wants to adopt him. They find a nurse for him, and Moses' sister Miriam goes and gets Moses' mom, and then Pharaoh's daughter ends up paying her mom, his mom, to do that which she would have done gladly for free. Does God not have his hand all over this? So Jochebed was not just the mother of Moses and Miriam, but of Aaron as well. And Jochebed is not really remembered for any major or sizable accomplishment or for how good in detail of a mother she was, but she saved Moses from Pharaoh's edict
of death. Right? That's pretty notable. For the first 3 months of his life, she kept him hidden. She weaves this ark, puts Moses in it to await the coming of Pharaoh's daughter who took pity on the child. And then again, she ends up nursing Moses. And we don't know for exactly how long. It could have been 3 months. It could have been 6 months. It may have been until he was 5 years old or 7 years old. We don't know for sure. But perhaps the traits of the patience and care found in Moses were learned and modeled from his mother.
He did know about his people. He did know about the Lord. So what kind of impact did Moses' mother have on her son during the early years of his life before she gave him over? Well, we can only guess. We don't know exactly how much contact she had with him. We don't know the family dynamics that were going on. We do know that Moses and Aaron and Miriam all interacted together during the period of the Exodus. But we know that
Jochebed had a great significant role in the life of Moses. She cared for him, protected him, provided for him in unique ways, and she was an instrument in God's divine purpose in the life of Moses and then also in the life of Israel. And by the way, did you know that Jochebed, Moses' mom, makes it into Hebrews chapter 11, the Great Hall of Faith? Check this out. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Even though it might have seemed scary, they said, you know what, we're going to do the right thing before the Lord. And it's never too late to do the right thing. She was in a desperate situation, wouldn't you agree with that? But she did the right thing. She acted out her faith, not in fear, but in the fear of the Lord. And she trusted God and His work and His leading. And listen to this. In this way, she served as the deliverer, so to speak, of the national deliverer of Israel. So that's Jochebed. How about Hannah? 1 Samuel chapter 1, we won't read the passage, but you know, Hannah was barren, and that means that she couldn't have children, but she prayed to the Lord, and she said, Lord, if you would bless me with a child, then I will dedicate my child to you and the service in the tabernacle. And so God heard and answered her prayer and gave her a child, gave her a boy, and who was Hannah's son? Samuel, or his name means literally asked of the Lord. She asked of the Lord, and the Lord gave her a child. When he was 3 years old, she took him to the priest named Eli for training. Samuel, as you know, would become a great prophet and leader in the history of Israel, speaking on God's behalf, and also used to anoint the future king of Israel, Jesse's son, the shepherd David. When you think about Hannah, her witness still speaks to us today, doesn't it? She turned to God in prayer during her time of need. And that might sound really obvious, but you know what? We need that reminder because we often turn to our own resources. We often turn to our own ingenuity, or we turn to the humans around us, or we turn to Google or, you know, whoever or whatever. Well, second, she praised and thanked God when He did answer prayer. I tell you what, when you cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you, when you make your petitions to the Lord, when He answers, Christian church, don't forget to thank Him. When you pray specifically, be on the lookout for a specific answer. And when He answers, give Him all the praise. Don't take any of the credit. Number three, she kept her commitment to the Lord, although it must have been difficult. And how many times do we bargain with the Lord and we say, Lord, if you just do this thing, if you get me out of this mess, if you heal my dog, whatever, I will do this. Well, don't be rash with your words, but if you make a commitment to the Lord, then follow through on it. That must have been difficult for her. But we see that God blessed Hannah beyond what she asked. And did you know that she not only became the mother of Samuel, but of three other sons and two daughters? Don't we serve a good God? Well, how about a couple from the New Testament, a couple of moms? Eunice and Lois. Eunice and Lois, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's writing to young Timothy, reminds him of the powerful legacy that he has spiritually. And for his godly heritage, it went back not just to his mom, but at least to his grandmother, Eunice. 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5, here's what he writes. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. He's reminding this young pastor who had a difficult ministry ahead of him, you've got a godly heritage. You've got a godly heritage. And those same spiritual characteristics that I saw in your mom and in your grandmother, they're in you too, Timothy. Wouldn't that be encouraging from your mentor to be able to say that? Hey, those spiritual traits that are necessary for powerful ministry, I see them in you. And so these were two godly mothers, and they impacted and blessed the life of Timothy
and others through his ministry. I'll tell you what. If you're a grandmother, if you're a great-grandmother here in this place, don't underestimate your role that you have. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy in chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He was raised on the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, God's Word. Now, did he have the book of Revelation? Did he have a gospel, at least? Did he have the book of Acts? No. No, he didn't. He had the Old Testament. He had the Old Testament. And I'll tell you, if it was good enough for Timothy, it's good enough for me. Amen? Now, what I love about this passage, and then we'll move on here, it says that these holy scriptures, the Old Testament, are able to make you wise for salvation. How does that happen? Through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So it wises a person up to the salvation of God that he provides, and we find out that it's through his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, that is so straightforward, is it not? So the scriptures not only tell us how to be saved, but they tell us how to live as saved people. And that's very, very important. Now, Timothy was blessed with a godly heritage, and we know that godly mothers bless others. So those are three examples, but I'll tell you what, there's one more. I told you three, but there's one more. And that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. All right, Mary, the mother of Jesus. If you're taking notes, like many of you are, you can write down Luke chapter 2. Now, let me just say, when we talk about Mary, you need to understand that she was a sinner just like you and me. But we do honor her in the sense that she was chosen from all the other young women in Israel at that time to carry and bring into this world the Messiah, the Ancient of Days, Jesus Christ the Righteous. That was a desire of young women in Israel that they would be the one to bring the Messiah in the world. And this young teenage girl is highly favored by the Lord. She's blessed among women. And when she receives the announcement that she will conceive in her womb the Messiah, and she hears that with God there's nothing impossible, do you remember what she said? She said, "Let it be as you have said. Let it be according to your word." Now, I'm just going to confess this. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary does not come to me teaching me words of wisdom, okay? However, that said, those are words of wisdom. Are they not? Those are words of wisdom. When the Spirit of God reveals truth to us, when you hear the Word of God and when you read the Word of God, I tell you what, there's something powerful for us to say, let it be as you've said. God said it, that settles it. It's good. I'm good with it. We need to be good with it. We need to say amen, which means literally, so be it. So be it. Oh, that we would have the desire to obey the word of the Lord that quickly and that completely. Do you think Mary had it all figured out? Did she have all of her questions answered by the angel Gabriel? No, but what did she say? Let it be according to your word. That is so awesome. And I'll say that she trusted by faith in the word of God, and then she continued to do so in spite of ridicule and alienation from other people. She kept on believing on the word of God. Some 30 years later, she and Jesus are at a wedding where the wine runs out, and in that culture, that is a no-no. That is a faux pas. But Mary knows something.
She knows that Jesus can solve the problem. And then Mary leaves us with an amazing testimony. I don't know if you knew about the last recorded words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, but these are in Scripture. This is what she says. The last recorded words of Mary, she says this, "Do whatever he says." Obviously referring to Jesus. Do whatever he says. Is that not words of wisdom? Do whatever Jesus says. Well, we know that Jesus loved and honored his mom. As Jesus was suffering on the cross, he was worried about his mom who was going to take care of her after he was gone. He made plans for her provision, and he put his disciple John in charge of taking care of her. Our Savior, Jesus, left us an example in providing for and taking care of our parents as much as we can. And the reason for this is that when you serve others, you are serving Jesus and showing your love for God the Father. Listen to John 19, beginning in verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, evidently his father Joseph is not in the scene anymore, the disciple whom he loved, John, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, from that time, the disciple took her to his own home. Wow. Talk about care for your mother. Jesus is suffering on the cross, and he's providing for his mom. Well, Mary was a godly mother, and we are truly blessed because of her. She was a sinner just like you and me. She was favored among women. But you know what? She left us like two amazing truth bombs, did she not? Let it be according to your word and do whatever he says. Wow, that's good stuff. I want to finish with a short story. A young boy came to his mother in the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper that he had been writing on. After his mom dried her hands on the apron, she read it, and this is what it said. "Mom, for cutting the grass, $5. For cleaning up my room this week, $1. For going to the store for you, 50 cents. Babysitting my kid brother while you were shopping, 25 cents. I would have thought that would be more. $80. Come on, Mom. Taking out the garbage, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. For cleaning up and raking the yard, $2. And then he had totaled it all up, and it was good math. Total, $14.75. Well, his mother looked at him standing there, and the boy could see something flashing through her mind. She picked up the pen, and she turned over the paper that he had been writing on, and this is what she wrote. "For 9 months, I carried you while you were growing inside me. No charge. For all the nights I've sat up with you, doctored you, and prayed for you, no charge. For all the trying times, all the tears that you've caused through the years, no charge. For all the nights that were filled with dread and for the worries I knew were ahead, no charge. For the toys, food, clothes, even wiping your nose," and I would add probably other things, "no charge. For teaching you the word of God and the reality that Jesus lived, died, and rose again for the forgiveness of sins, including yours, no charge. Son, when you add it up, the cost of my love is no charge." Well, when the boy finished reading what his mom had written, there were big tears in his eyes, and he looked straight at his mother, and he said, "Mom, I sure do love you." And then he took the pen, and in great big letters, he wrote, "Paid in full." Isn't that awesome? Godly mothers bless others. Moms, you're blessed and you're honored here today. However, you can't be the mom that God wants you to be until you're growing into the bride that God wants you to be. And this truth is for all of us. And perhaps there are areas in your life that need to be shored up. Maybe there's some growth that needs to happen. Whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart this morning, I just pray that you would respond to the Holy Spirit. Lay your burden down at the cross. Leave it there. If there's conviction, repent and ask for forgiveness and say, "Lord, change me and use me in these last days. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. You may know of him, but you don't know where you'd spend eternity when you die. And if that's you, I just encourage you to get right with Jesus and settle the eternal issue and trust in his free gift. He paid your penalty on the cross because there was no way for you to do so. He offers you, with his perfect life and what he wrought for you on the cross, the free gift of salvation. And by believing in that and by believing in his name, you can have the forgiveness of sins and you can have everlasting life. This is from the one who died and was buried and who rose from the dead. And that's a very important thing to have settled in these last days. The way has been made. The opportunity is here. Today is the day of salvation. And it's Jesus, the Son of God, who says that no one comes to the Father except through him. I mean, just think about how many people in our culture right now claim to have a relationship with God, but they don't because it's not through his son, Jesus. There are so many people right here in our valley that need to know the Lord. And if that's you, I pray that you would settle that eternal issue today. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you thankful for our moms. We come before you thankful that you have blessed us with families. You've blessed us with moms, Lord, that have loved us and have taken care of us and just have invested so much into us. And Lord, even right now, we pray your richest blessing upon our moms. But whether we're a mom or a dad or son or daughter or grandparent, Lord, I just pray right now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, help us to follow you and live full on in these last days. Empower us to lead you as you've called your people to lead and serve you as you've called us to serve. Lord, I pray for our moms, I pray for our dads, I pray for all of us, that you would help us to live godly in a very ungodly world for your glory and until you come. In Jesus' name. And all God's kids said,
amen.
Let's stand.